Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy Year of the Monkey. It's the Chinese New Year today. The New York City public schools are closed for the occasion for the first time. The latest numbers I've seen have about 500,000 people of Chinese descent living here out of our 8.5 million or so New Yorkers, plus about 200,000 Korean Americans making up the bulk of those who celebrate this holiday here. We are happy to have with us today China's Consul General to New York, Ambassador Zhang Zhong, to talk about the holiday and some U.S.-China relations. Ambassador, so nice of you to join us. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, I'm so happy. Thank you.
We shut the schools for a day now. I gather China itself shuts down for 5 days. What happens over there to celebrate the New Year?
Well, this is probably the biggest holiday in China. So actually, there are 7 days holiday, including the 2 weekends. So people are very happy to be traveling back to their native homes and have a big family gathering with the big, big families.
And I read the Shanghai stock market closes for this whole week. That might be a welcome relief right now. But what happens to all that pent-up demand of the value of things if they are seen to change?
No, actually, I would think that the big holiday is a big plus for the economy, not only for China, but actually for the world, because even though the stock markets are closed, but the consumption is very high, because during the long holiday, people are traveling from one place to another, and they are presenting gifts to each other, and they go to the restaurants for a big feast. And so actually, as far as I understand, that it is predicted about 3.6 billion people, or actually 3.6 trips will be made during the Spring Festival. So out of the 1.3 billion people, you can imagine how many trips people are making. So I think this is great for transportation, for, you know, consumption, for the market. And also, not only that people are traveling within China, about 6 million people are going outside of China for visits. And I believe that that will add up to the consumption at least 100 billion U.S. dollars.
You represent the Chinese government from Beijing here in New York. What role do you see your consulate playing in the lives of Chinese New Yorkers, in addition to government-to-government relations, as we would normally think of someone with your position as ambassador?
Well, yes, my job is multifaceted. We are at the Chinese Consulate General in New York. It is called that, but actually my responsibility covers 10 states in the northeast of America. And we are here to promote relations with all 10 states, with all the cities and counties. And also we are here to promote trade, investment, and education, cultural exchanges. And we are also here to facilitate the work of Chinese companies, and we try to assist the Chinese community, to trying to help the Chinese students and citizens that are working here. Our job is quite a big responsibility, I must say.
China is taking a beating in this presidential campaign year. Let me play you a clip, for example, 30 seconds of Donald Trump in Saturday night's debate after the candidates were informed that North Korea had tested a missile just beforehand.
We have tremendous, has been
country. Well,
by
that
China.
Just shows.
China says they don't have that good a control over North Korea. They have tremendous control. I deal with the Chinese all of the time. I do tremendous business. The largest bank in the world is in one of my buildings in Manhattan. I deal with them. They tell me they have total, absolute control, practically, of North Korea. They are sucking trillions of dollars out of our country. They're rebuilding China with the money they take out of our country. I would get on with China. Let China solve that problem. They can do it quickly and surgically. That's what we should do with North Korea.
So that was in the debate Saturday night. But as you know, it's not just Donald Trump. Many who are more mainstream and more diplomatic, say China has enough influence over North Korea to put a stop to their dangerous nuclear weapons and weapons delivery development. How much does your government agree with that?
Well, I don't want to give specific comments on the opinions expressed by the debaters. But what I wanted to say that I think the fact that the China has been mentioned shows the importance of Sino-U.S. relationship. And today, actually, our relations are getting more and more important. I would say that China and the U.S. are great partners in the world, and the good relations between our countries will really matter not only for our two countries, but also for world peace and security and development.
Sometimes great partners, sometimes not so much. I got a press release from the U.S. Business and Industry Council just the other day that was basically a list of grievances against China. Currency manipulation, IP theft, hacking, dumping. I could go on from their list. And I'm not going to press you on details on each of those things. But there is a widespread perception in the United States that China plays dirty when it comes to international business. What in general is your response to that?
Well, I think that is part of my job to change that perception. Actually, the relationship is developing steadily, and it is very positive because if you look at the general business environment, China has really attracted most of the investment in the world. And actually, most of the American companies are in China, and they're doing successful businesses. And actually, the latest number coming out of by the end of 2015 is that today our bilateral trade stands at $569 billion. So that means right now China is already the largest trading partner for the United States. And there are actually many, many successful stories. Of course, you know, when we have such a intertwined business relationship, there are complaints, there are grievances, as, you know, any market will have. But I would say that the good stories, the successful stories are much, much more than the grievances. And many, many American businesses are making money. And they are not only making money, they are today localizing, and they are having great stories in China. And there are just too many to cite.
President Obama keeps saying one of the reasons he's for the Pacific Rim trade deal with 12 countries, not including China, is so China can't set the rules, excuse me, of Asian trade to its own advantage. I'm sure you've heard that. What's your response to that?
Well, I think both the United States and China, we have to work toward a better international environment and economic development for the world. Today, I think both the United States and China are the strongest engines for world economy. So we both have great responsibilities. And for as far as China is concerned, you know, we are willing to work with the United States and with the international community to set just and right rules for the world. Actually, if you talk about the economy, I don't think we have that great influence to set the rules for the world. But China is a very responsible player in the international environment.
It's more about setting the rules for the region with a lot of the small companies, small countries around China. But does China have a position on TPP?
Well, I think the TPP is quite a complicated issue because we are not part of it, but we are looking at it very carefully. And so, I mean, we are for the a better economic environment for all countries. Actually, as far as China is concerned, we are working very hard with our neighbors to achieve a kind of, a good partnership, economic partnership within the region and also in the world.
Do you still call it Communist China? Is that a term you use, or is that just a term that people throw around here?
Well, I think it's we are, the main party is the Chinese Communist Party. But at the same time that we also have other parties that work together with the Communist Party. So we are actually building a socialist country with Chinese characteristics. But as far as the market is concerned, it is very much a market economy. But actually, whether you call it the communist or names like socialist country with social with special characteristics, it is actually the goal is to bring a better life for the people.
We have a socialist running for president now, as you know. So what's the difference between a socialist country with Chinese characteristics and what you see Bernie Sanders standing for?
Well, I only speak for my country, and I think for me, I wanted to say that when we our country, for our party, the biggest goal is to make sure that the people will have a better life, and this is our dedicated responsibility. We have specific goals to achieve that so that China will become more prosperous and a better off country.
I was in China in 2012 on a tour for journalists. We met a wide range of Chinese intellectuals, including one named Eric Li, who's also a successful businessman whose work I've continued to follow. He writes in English on Huffington Post and elsewhere, and he makes a specific case against democracy for China, that the idea of being able to vote for your leaders or have free speech are not universal values, as we tend to say here. They're Western values. And China's authoritarian system and self-generating government works better there. Is that a case you would make too?
Well, what I wanted to say is that China is also supportive of universal values. Not many people realize that the respect for human rights and the universal values are actually in our constitution.
Does that include public dissent from your government?
Of course. I think, you know, in China, most people think that all the Chinese will speak with one voice and one comment. But actually, many people do not realize that China is a country of vast diversity. You know, we have 1.3 billion people. And so when you have such a large population, you will have 1.3 billion opinions.
But to a point, when you say, yes, you can dissent from your government, there's so much restriction of internet speech, for example. The government seems threatened by that.
Well, I think there is also an issue of perception. Actually, in China, the internet has developed so rapidly that as far as I understand that we have about 600 million people on the internet. And so actually, if you go to China, if you know China, you know that China, you know, has a lot of freedom in this respect. And so whatever complaints, I know there are individuals who always have complaints, but the fact that the internet has developed so well in China, I think speaks for itself.
And being able to vote for your leaders, Eric Li says, democracy is not the answer.
No, actually, China is building our own way of democracy. Actually, we vote for our leaders because we have a large number of people who actually live in the countryside. And actually, the voting in the countryside in any way, I mean, in any areas below the county level are direct election. So that is a fact that many people do not understand. I think for any country, it is only reasonable that you have your own system because of history, because of development. So I think the most important thing is to respect each other. I think each country is different, you know, the way that it has developed and the way that history has made it that way. So I think that it is very, very important to see that, you know, there is diversity in the world as well.
China's Consul General to New York, Ambassador Zhang Zhang, happy Year of the Monkey. Thank you very much for coming in and having some dialogue with
us. Thank you very much, and happy Lunar New Year. 新年好.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.